Well, it's good to be here with you, everyone. What I would like to share with you today builds a lot on what I spoke about last time that I was up here, but since that was in May, and I don't really remember much of what I did yesterday, I thought it would not be fair to expect you to remember all of that either. And so I just want to give you a quick recap. That day in May, we were in Ephesians 2. And if you're still open to Ephesians 4, just turn back a page for a minute. I think it's worth hearing again before we continue some key verses there. So if you take a look with me at Ephesians 2:19, we read, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." So, man, that is powerful. That passage about how Christ is breaking down boundaries and barriers. The barrier between us and God, that separation, and the boundaries and barriers that separate us from each other. And in that passage, it was specifically talking about the Jews and Gentiles, but I think we can see how it can transfer to us today. So I already talked about that. Now we have to move on. So if God through Christ is breaking down these barriers, he also wants to build us up. And I'd like to spend some time focusing on that today. So I think Ephesians 4, that passage that Kathy just read for us, has a lot to say about how God wants to build us up through Christ Jesus. And after I'm done speaking, I want to invite you to participate in that process today. So I'm going to ask for people to share at the end. Don't get too squirmy yet. You can just kind of breathe out and listen for a little bit before I kind of put you on the spot. But God wants to build us together. And so let's take a look at Ephesians 4 for what that building process looks like. I do want to emphasize one point that I feel like I am learning more and more about God building us together through Christ. And that is when we are built together through faith, that's something communal. I think so often we talk about personal salvation as individual, right? If I accept Christ, I can experience abundant life. I will be united with God one day in eternity. And I do not want to dismiss. Please don't think I'm dismissing that. That is essential, right? That's the cornerstone of our faith. But I also think that if faith is essentially personal, it is also communal. And in a culture that prizes individualism so much, we can kind of gloss over that communal aspect of faith. And so I want to just really spend some time talking today about how together we are the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's what Ephesians 2 says. We are being built together as a dwelling of the Holy Spirit. I was recently really moved by a story, an interview given by the writer Shauna Nyquist, I always pronounce it wrong, but anyway, she was talking about how we are carried and sheltered and held by the faith of others, and she was speaking particularly about a dark period of her life. She had experienced more than one lost pregnancy, and she talked about some of the dark days that followed. And others just came in and surrounded her and shared that burden with her. And this is what she said. She said, "Friends were in my space. They were in my home with my kids, feeding us, praying with us. There was a season where, quite honestly, I had to ask people to pray for me. the prayers that I wanted to pray because I just couldn't right then. And I kind of had to say, this is what she says, I'm silent in my spirit, in my heart. But if you could pray to a good God for a new life on my behalf, if you could pray for my broken heart. to have people literally sitting next to me, holding my hand, praying out loud the words that I was too empty and silent to pray. That's just so moving. And I think that many of you have been in those places and you have felt those times that your faith has been carried and shouldered by other members of the body. When you were either particularly vulnerable for some reason or you were silent in your spirit. As this writer put it, I was thinking about myself even and how I need others to build into my faith. I was reminded of that passage in James 1 where it's talking about being doers of the word and not only hearers, right? Because if you hear the truth from God and then you don't do it, you're like a person who sees themselves in the mirror and then you walk away and you forget what you look like. And that just speaks to me. I need people to hold the mirror, like just keep holding it up in front of my face, and I need people to turn me back to it. And I was thinking, I'm a little embarrassed to say how often I need that. But then I thought, I'm not going to be ashamed of that. I will not let shame deter me from God's plan for growing me. I don't have to be ashamed that I need people to point me to Christ, that I need you to point me to Christ. That's part of His design and that's part of His provision for me. And I'm really grateful for it. So there's a long list of scriptures that support how members of Christ's body, you and I, are supposed to be living and working and praying and growing together. And so, again, for today, we're just in Ephesians 4, and there are some really simple ways that I think we can do that, where we can position ourselves to be built together for the glory of God so that the world would know His love. First, if you take a look back in your Bible in verse 2, it reminds us to be humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. And, man, I think that sounds really great and noble, doesn't it? Like, those are some really lofty goals. But what I think is not screaming out right there, but that is just under the surface, is that it's seeing each other's ugly, dark places that make us need to bear with one another, right? And we want to clean ourselves up. We want to present the clean version of ourselves, even to the people we love so many times. But if we really want to grow together as this beautiful dwelling where God lives, we have to allow ourselves to be seen and known. We have to enter that cycle of vulnerability and forgiveness. And so I just want to pause and ask you, are you willing? Are you willing to do that? Because we do belong to each other. When verse 3 asks us to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, it is because of verses 4 through 6. Right? It is because there is one body, there is one Spirit, we were called to one hope, we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I mean, look at all those ones. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We are meant to be one. And how do we do this? So the first, we bear with one another, we are humble, we are gentle, we are patient, we allow ourselves to be seen. Secondly, we can build one another up through those gifts that we are given in Christ. So if you look at verses 7 through 13, that next section, we are told that in Christ we each are given gifts. We serve a God who blesses us, who wants to give us good things. And why does he want us to have those good things? So we can use them. And so if you just take a look at verses 12 and 13, he's saying he gives us these to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Man, I don't know about you, but I really want to experience that fullness. I just long for it. And here's the thing. If I'm going to achieve that fullness, if you're going to experience that fullness, we're going to have to use our gifts. We're going to have to offer them to God and to one another in service. And maybe now you're thinking, well, these gifts, I don't know what my gifting is. And so this is where I plug the spiritual gifts assessment, right? A spiritual gifts assessment, it's not like an internet quiz where by picking six emojis, you can discover what overplayed top 40 song you are. And by the way, as you can see, I got Happy by Pharrell Williams. Or what kind of friend you are based upon the burger you assemble. I am, of course, the adventurous friend. A spiritual gifts assessment is nothing like one of those internet quizzes where you pick on, you click on a color and then it can like analyze the makeup of your soul. It's not like that at all. So I just take a moment and look at each other across the aisle. Just look into someone's face. Those people that you just looked at, they need your gifts. They need you to know what your gifts are. They need you to use your gifts. And so I want you to write these sites down vividly. Or don't do it now. Put your phones away. Class. But definitely plan on visiting these. If you are wondering where your spiritual gifts lie, the first one is the acronym actually comes directly from Ephesians 4. Take a look. APES. Apostles, verse 11, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And bonus, this one comes highly recommended by Pastor Chris. Stamp of approval. Go. It does, there is a small fee for this one. Gold standard. They have to keep themselves going. The second one is free, and it's one that I've used. The nice thing about it is that there is both a youth and an adult version, which I think is really great. It is never too early to start figuring out, like, what does God want to do with me? Because God wants to do something with everybody. So check that out. Both of those sites will be really helpful if you feel like, hey, I'm in a place in my life where, like, I want God to use me, but I'm not exactly sure how. Like, all the stuff you're saying sounds really good. I'm in. This is how you can explore how to be more fully in with how God has designed building us together. So when we come together, when we're built up in faith with one another, by the God who has destroyed the barriers of sin that separated us and chooses to build us together, that's when we become really mature. And this happens when we speak the truth in love. Then, verse 15 says, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Guys, I just think that speaking the truth in love is something that we get wrong so often and in so many ways that are harmful to each other's faith. And one of those ways I feel like God has been teaching me lately is that truth is not a burden. Truth is not ugly. It is not painful. It is not burdensome. Truth is beautiful. we need to speak God's truth into each other's lives. Now, that doesn't mean that hearing the truth sometimes doesn't cut us in ways that are temporarily painful. Because when you're exposed to the truth and you realize, I'm not walking in that truth, there can be a moment of pain when you realize that. But ultimately, I just feel like God has been speaking to me, like, His truth is beautiful and lovely for your wholeness and for your freedom. It is not burdensome. It is not exhausting. And so we need to speak that truth into one another. Something I've been thinking about lately is, who do I allow to speak the truth directly to my soul? Who can do that? And I would invite you to take a moment to think about that. Ask God to maybe bring you the face or faces of those people that you let speak truth directly to your heart. Who are you willing to hear it from? Now, I want you to think about that person or people, and I am willing to bet you that your willingness to hear the truth from them is directly correlated to your understanding of how much that person loves you and is for you, right? Because love creates the space for truth. It allows the truth to cut through to the marrow, to get to our core. And we fight it. Like, we put up all kinds of layers so that it can't get in sometimes. But love creates the space for truth. So that is why we need to speak the truth to one another. And I would ask, who are you willing to speak the truth to? Who do you love that fully and that generously? I am willing to bet that your love makes you humble, gentle, patient, as verse 2 says, and also bold. So, bearing with one another, sharing our gifts, speaking the truth to one another, these are the ways that we can be built together. And verse 16 says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I think that's gorgeous. I'm glad that God designed my growth that way. I want to be part of that. Do you want to be part of that with me? I'm asking you that today. Like, do you want that? Do you want to allow God to grow you and grow this body in that way? This idea of being built together, it was reminding me of another story of a builder that's found in the Old Testament, and that's Nehemiah. So Nehemiah's story comes at the tail end of almost a 100-year rebuilding process. Man, that's a long time. So remember, the Jews were in captivity in Babylon. And then the Persian kings came and they overthrew Babylon and released the Jewish captives. And now it's time for them to rebuild. But see, like, and you think, like, oh, this is great. They're free, right? Like, now we can move on. But over the course of the next 100 years, there was a series of kings. And some of them were like, oh, yeah, sure, you go ahead and rebuild. And some of them were like, nope, I'm pulling the plug on that. You can't. And it just went on and on that way. So by Nehemiah's time, the temple has been rebuilt in Jerusalem. And lots of the city has been rebuilt. But an important piece of the work is not completed because the walls of the city are in shambles. And Nehemiah, at that time, was the cupbearer to the Persian king. And so he steps in and he's got this vision of how he wants to see the city of Jerusalem restored to its fullness. And so he goes to the king and he's like, I just have a few requests for you, king. First of all, can I have some time off, like, from my job with you? I just want to go and do something else for a while. Oh, and also, could you please give me letters that grant me permission to do this work? And no big deal, but if you could throw in some timber, too, that would be really great. So that's a pretty bold request to make of the king. But the king says, yes, okay, and he grants Nehemiah all of these things. And Nehemiah gathers up the remnant of the Jews who are in Jerusalem, and they all get to work, right? And whole families. The Bible even mentions, and you can check this out on your own time, but Nehemiah even mentions, like, sons and daughters are working alongside of their parents, and the families are all coming together to rebuild sections of the wall. But you can probably guess what happens based on this 100-year-long history of starting and stopping and starting and stopping. Enemies of the Jews, they get word of this project, and they're like, nope, we're not going to let this continue, and they attack the builders. But Nehemiah is not about to be dismayed. He has this vision for this completed project, and he is not going to let it go that easily. So he says, all right, guys, here's the plan. Some of you are going to be just here holding weapons and standing guard, and some of you are going to be doing the building work, and, you know, we'll switch off and on, but, like, that's how we're going to make sure we get this done. We're not just going to throw up our hands and be like, well, I guess we can't do it because there's people getting in our way. And the verse that you see up here, I just think is so powerful. Nehemiah says, then I said to the nobles, the officials, I said to the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. And I just think, like Nehemiah and the rebuilding of that wall, we find ourselves today widely separated from each other. But we need each other to grow. We need to hear from each other about what God is teaching us. We need to know what each other are struggling with. We need to know, I need to know where you're seeing God's goodness in your life. I need to know so that I can join you in those places that you're just waiting to hear from Him. So we need to join one another in those places. We need to be willing to blow that trumpet. And so I'm going to stop talking in just a couple of minutes and instead extend an invitation for you to share. I know that can be uncomfortable. I know it's a little different from the norm. But I just would invite you to be part of the building process in that way today. I want to invite you to think about where God is moving and working in your heart. And where you see God moving and working in your neighborhood or in your family. I want you to think about where you're struggling right now and seeking God's hand. And then, like in Nehemiah, you can blow your trumpet. You can tell your story. And we can join you and we can stay with you. Our God is here and He will fight for us. He is here. So, I'm going to pray, and then if you are feeling nudged to share by the Holy Spirit, or by the person sitting next to you, we have a handheld mic. All you have to do is stand up, and we will pass that mic to you, and let's encourage each other today. As we enter into prayer, I'm just going to start with a quiet time where you can be with God. And just ask Him to speak. What does He want you to say? What words does God have for you to offer your brothers and sisters who are gathered here today? So let's go to Him in prayer.